Wednesday, November 23rd. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I'm holding in my hands no less than 5 stories coming from a variety of different news sources, reflecting not only secular universities, but Christian universities. And all these stories have one thing in common. That is, parents really don't know what they're talking about when it comes to their child's secondary education and college education. Further, we need to stress the progressive woke ideology, whether it be CRT or sexual transitioning or lifestyles that are clearly unbiblical. All these stories are saying to parents, we know what's best, and we will use psychology to convince you we know what's best. Just allow us to push the agenda we have in mind on your children.
It's not simply allow us, you need to pay us. You need to pay us as we make your child the experimentation of our progressive secular world and life view. By the way, you're incompetent, and you do not have the ability to make those decisions yourself. Now, let me state the obvious. Do I believe every parent can go in and teach physics? No. Do I believe every parent can go in and teach the intricacies of microbiology? No. Obviously, I don't believe that. But every parent knows their worldview. Every parent knows how they see life. It's either through the lenses of a God-centered view of life or through a self-centered view of life, a man-centered view of life. It's one of the two. And I can tell what you're trying to teach my child. Yes, you may be able to give the mathematical laws better than I can, certainly. But I know, and I will make a determination of the purpose that you're teaching those mathematical laws. 2 + 2 = 4. Thank you. Now, why does 2 + 2 = 4? Is it because of some cosmic accident between two gases, and somehow we now have this law of mathematics alongside other laws of science and mathematics and the reality of life? Or is it a world in life view that makes sense that there is a creator, and therefore we're created in the image of God, and therefore we have assigned dignity in life because of Imago Deo, and that means we have purpose in life under the eye of God, and therefore I want to learn the disciplines of life within that framework? Parents have enough sense to know whether you are teaching the doctrine of demons with a culture of insanity and absurdity and lethality and immorality, all because you have that agenda in rebellion against God, or have you taken the disciplines and taught them to my child in the context of sanity, that there is a God who has ordered all things, and instead of absurdity, clarity. And instead of immorality, morality, ethical absolutes. And instead of lethality and a culture of death, we want a culture of life. But now we have the educators telling the parents, you are incompetent. You have no business making those decisions. Your child is not under your oversight. Your child is under our oversight. And we're going to use the power of the government to remove all of your rights in the oversight of your child.
Harry, least any parent think, well, I'm going to send my child to a Christian college, so therefore I won't have those issues. A recent story in Ministry Watch says Calvin University's Board of Trustees has allowed a group of faculty members to dissent from a clause in a confession of faith that regards sex outside of the heterosexual marriage as sinful, thus enabling them to continue to work at the Christian school while also respecting their personal convictions.
And not only do you have the individual Calvin College, but Tom, you have the association, the Christian Association, the Organization of Christian Colleges, that affirmed this Orwellian-named initiative called Respect for Marriage, which has anything but respect for marriage, and that entire consistory of professed Christian colleges have abandoned biblical ethics concerning marriage and family in order to sign a deal that the government won't come after them, which in fact that deal was done with a wink and a nod. You can rest assured if you attempt to be faithful to biblical Christianity in your curriculum, they're going to come after you. If you attempt to be faithful in your admission policies and your code of conduct to biblical ethics, they're going to come after you. And all you did was create a Prime Minister Chamberlain moment where you bought a momentary respite, but you have set up your own demise by supporting that respect for marriage. But here's my point. Just like in Christianity, you have what we call nominal Christians, and that is people who profess to be Christian, but they don't have a robust, vital, personal saving relationship with Christ. They take the name of Christian as they join a church, but they haven't been born again. Well, the same thing's true of Christian institutions, adoption agencies, professional Christian guilds, colleges, and seminaries. Some of them are nominally Christian. They still have Christian in their name, and they still nod their head to the historic confessions, but in reality, they have no professional and organizational commitment to be faithful to biblical truth. They're just nominally Christian. So you are right, Tom. Don't just send your kids to a school that claims to be Christian because Christian is in the name. You need to take a look at the curriculum. You need to take a look at the teachers. You need to take a look at the code of conduct. You need to take a look at the expectations and educational outcomes. Then you can find out whether they are functionally Christian, reality Christian, or just nominally Christian.
Harry, for those professors who might be Christians who are working at secular institutions, they need to keep their eyes wide open. West Virginia University is now fairly far down the road in making diversity and social justice a part of will you get tenure and will you keep tenure?
So, Tom, remember, persecution seldom starts with taking people's lives. It starts by attacking their livelihoods. We've seen it with bakers, website designers, cake makers, photographers. We've seen it double down in the educational industry complex. And one of the ways is, if you don't toe the line on wokeism, critical theory, and the LGBTQAI agenda, if you're not a participant in promoting that, then you don't get your promotion, or you don't get tenure. That has become the practice. Tom, I serve on three different educational institutions. We're constantly at battle with accrediting agencies who are denying religious liberty. That is, as an educational institution, part of your job is to be faithful to your framing principles and documents. They're saying, no, if you want our accreditation, you have to abandon Christian ethics. So, Tom, this is going to be a battle, and the cultural elite are telling the believer and telling the parents, you are not allowed to exercise your responsible rights and freedoms as a parent to oversee your child. You have to turn your child over to us and the God of Molech. And in the God of Molech, child was placed on the coal-filled bronze idol of Molech. When the child was removed, it bore those burn marks that was inflicted upon the child's body, and that child bore those marks for the rest of their life. Well, that is exactly what is happening to our children. When we turn them over to these educational institutions, they come out with the burn marks of Molech upon them for the rest of their life. Listen, there's a reason that the mark of the beast is placed on the forehead. If you capture the mind, then you can capture the heart. And that's exactly what the cultural elite desire to do.
The Apostle Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It is essential that we have a proper understanding of spiritual warfare. If the believer embraces the Bible as the Word of God, then we must recognize the reality of spiritual warfare and we must get prepared for battle. What does the Bible say about spiritual warfare? Harry Reader delivers 15 sermons to understand that we might stand. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/spiritual warfare. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.